evening and welcome to episode 66 of the Deck Tease Podcast, brought to you by LegitMTG.com. My name is Erin Campbell. My guest tonight is probably one of the most unique personalities I've ever run into in the Magic community. And when I first stumbled upon his articles on Channel Fireball, I knew that I just had to have him on my show. And hopefully after getting to know him with me tonight, you guys will agree. Hello, Travis.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I am doing great. First time on a podcast.
Yes, this is my first time on a podcast.
Oh, this is so exciting. I love my first timers so much.
Well, I hope I don't disappoint.
No pressure. No pressure. And I did ask you this once before. It's Bozy?
It's Bozy, yeah.
Bozy. Travis Bozy. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Because there's nothing worse than slaughtering somebody's name. Like, I had Tifa Mayan on my show once, if you're familiar from Wizards. And I remember when I had her on, I was like, Tifa Mayan! And she's like, it's actually Mayan. And I'm like, oh, okay, sorry. And then I had her now husband on my show, Michael Robles, and I called him Michael Robles. And he's like, it's actually Robles. So I was like, damn. And even after I've had them on the show, I think I did like a recap show and I'd mentioned their names. And I was like, Tifa Mayan, fuck, I did it again. So I'm really, really bad at the names. So I'm glad you cleared that up for me.
It's no problem. I don't care either way. It's fine.
So you seem like one of those types that would let me say it wrong. And then we'd get to the end of the show and you'd be like, oh, by the way, it's Bozy. And then I'd have egg on my face.
No, as soon as I had made the decision to let you say it wrong, it would just stay that way.
You would just kind of snicker throughout the whole show, like, she's totally wrong.
Okay. It just doesn't matter. It's fine.
Now, you did say something really interesting in our emails together. You recognize my email address.
Yeah, it says at Elitist Jerks, right?
Uh-huh. What do you know about Elitist Jerks?
I used to play a lot of WoW in college, and so, of course, people who are committed to PvE in that game, no Elitist Jerks, because you have to go read there and be part of those forums if you want to be any good. Absolutely. At least it used to be that way.
Yeah, it's actually funny because I just reactivated my account the other day because I got caught up in BlizzCon fever, and I haven't been on the site in a long time, and I found out they got sold to another site called 10 Ton Hammer. And things changed a little bit, which I didn't know about. And, you know, since you said you played WoW, Travis, there is one question that's going to determine the course of our friendship.
Okay.
Are you Alliance or Horde?
Horde.
Oh, yes. We can be friends. Okay.
I mean, I haven't played for so long, but when I played, I was Horde.
Good man. Good man. If you were Alliance, the interview would stop right now.
Understandable. But gnomes are so adorable. How can you hate gnomes?
They're fun to punt. Nothing more.
I see.
So the reason I wanted to have you on, Travis, is I had recently discovered you on Channel Fireball. And to be honest, I didn't even know that you were on Channel Fireball. I had read your article, your second article that you just published, and I had never seen anything like it. Your sense of humor and your perspective and everything else. And the minute I read that article, I was like, I need him on my show. And I was very inspired by what you wrote, and that's why I wanted you here.
Well, I appreciate your kind words.
So to kind of reveal the punchline, I guess you could say, one of the reasons I was so inspired by what you write, Travis, is you were very open about the fact that you are blind, correct?
Yeah, I'm pretty open about it.
Okay.
Well, I am now. I didn't used to be.
Okay. And I'd never encountered that before in my time in the Magic community. So that was something very exciting to me, is to get to know someone like that. So let's start off with you being a part of Channel Fireball. How did you even get picked up by the site?
Well, I write for the website, but I don't know if I count as part of Channel Fireball. I just want to be clear. Like, I'm not connected with the team or anything like that.
Right.
Just after my finish in Vegas, I talked with the editor of Channel Fireball, because I've read that site for a long time, and mm-hmm. I look up to a lot of people on the team. They're pretty much my heroes in Magic, most of them. And I use the website to buy cards, things like that, you know, for strategy and stuff. And after I finished well in Vegas, I was kind of on fire for Magic. Like, I don't mean like doing well, I just mean like I was very passionate about it. And so we talked, and he thought that it was interesting, and he is very much into the storytelling of Magic. Like, sure, that website has lots of high-level strategy, but it also has interesting articles that are just about people, and I like that aspect. He likes that aspect. So he thought that my playing the game from my perspective was interesting, and so we gave it a shot. The first article I wrote that no one ever saw – I mean, they saw the finished product, but the first draft was a little, you know, whatever. It went through some stages, to say the least, because I have to You said you liked my sense of humor earlier, and a lot of my friends get on me about this. But in the articles, I'm very. It's a very. I can't think of the good word. It's not the purest version of my personality, because that website is, and for justifiably so, is very G-rated. So, and that's cool. I appreciate that, and I understand why. And so I really am not.
Me neither.
So I have to change a lot of the way I talk. So in my stories, sometimes the stories are different. In some of my articles, like in both of my articles, there's stories specifically in them that didn't exactly happen that way. At least not from a, like factually they happened that way. But the things that I said, the things that came out of my mouth probably weren't the same. But anyway, so we had to alter them a couple of times, and then get into a nice rhythm for the website, so that it meant that it's still interesting, but also still okay for the website. With the second one, it was much faster. Just like I submitted my article, boom, bing, bang, boom, it went up. So I think that we have that all locked in. If I ever am able to write more, we'll see. It kind of depends on if I continue to do well or not.
Right. Now, even though you said you weren't, picked up for lack, with quotation marks or whatever, it's still a pretty big deal. Like, I'm sure there are plenty of people who would love the opportunity to write for Channel Fireball and don't get the chance. So, surely you must recognize it's quite a feat.
Oh, please don't misunderstand me.
Yeah.
I am honored beyond. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable that I write on the same website as like Conley Woods and LSV and
Yeah.
Martin Yuza and PV. These people who are legends of the game. And sure, we don't write about the same things. They're teaching people how to play, and I would never try to do that on a mass scale because I'm not them and I'm not even close to their skill level. But it's awesome to be writing for the website. I'm so honored and I love it. I think it's the coolest thing ever. But at the same time, I can't, I feel I have to show some humility when I talk to people. I'm like, hey, I don't want to, like, oh, for lack of a better term, whore myself out too much, because I want to pump the website because I'm stoked. But at the same time, I don't be like, oh, I'm a writer for Channel Fireball, because it's, I don't feel that way. But I am honored, because I think that it's incredible, because I think it's the most prestigious website for Magic, so it's really cool. And trying to explain something like that to my father, who doesn't know anything about Magic, even he can understand when I say, Dad, it's like the number one website. Even he can appreciate that aspect. So I think that that is awesome. So I didn't mean to, say that, oh, I don't care, I'm just so cavalier. I didn't mean it like that.
Oh no, I didn't take it like that at all. I actually kind of I know what you mean when you talk about, having to sort of stifle yourself a little bit, because especially with my show, it's like, my local game store has a free event every Thursday. It's like a win a card event, and it's standard, and you play so many rounds, and every round you win, you get a raffle ticket, and if they pull your name, you win a card. So like last week, I think it was like win a Nylea or something, and I go pretty faithfully every Thursday. And 2 weeks ago, I wasn't able to go because I was recording my Patrick Chapin episode. And when they asked me, they were like, Aaron, we didn't see you at the win a card. Where were you? I didn't want to be like, oh, I was just hanging out with Patrick Chapin like I do. I was trying to be like, oh, it's just I recorded with a guest, just a friend. And they were like, well, who was your friend? And I'm like, oh, just this guy. He plays Magic. Just to change the subject, And I try really hard not to be that girl, but sometimes you have to just kind of, I was recording with Patrick Chapin, and you just try not to build it up. And yeah, I know what you mean with having to sort to mute it a little bit, because you do want to be like, I was recording with Patrick Chapin, suckers, but you can't do that, and I get that. So
Yeah.
can you say if you have any long-term plans for the site? Like, do you think you might be able to write again, or what's going on with that?
Well, I think, I mean, the way I understand it right now is I'm pretty much like freelance.
Okay.
So I could write for whoever I wanted, but or whomever I wanted, but I prefer to write for that website because it's my favorite website. And I'm not casting aspersions on any other website. I read articles on lots of websites, but Channel Fireball to me is like, first of all, it's they're letting me, so hooray. And second of all, it's my favorite one. The editor has pretty much told me that as long as I have a quality finish at a premier event, I can write about it. So I have to keep doing well, and then I'll be able to keep writing.
Well,
Although,
I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was just gonna say, I will admit that writing is a little bit tedious. I've written only two articles over the span of 4-ish months, and some people put out content like crazy, writing for multiple websites, multiple columns every single week. And I have gained a level of respect for those people who are writing that much content in such short bursts, repeatedly, like ad nauseum. It's kind of incredible. I could never do it.
Do you think you wouldn't be able to do that because of just lack of inspiration or lack of motivation, or what do you think would prevent you from doing that?
Honestly, the two primary things that would prevent me from doing that are my job and magic. I'm not at the level that a lot of the people who write for Magic for Channel Fireball are, so I have to play a ton. And I'm trying, like, my hugest motivation right now is to keep growing, and to keep getting better. And to do that, I have to play all the time. So it's hard to take time out of my day, because I'm somewhat of a perfectionist, to write an article that I think is good enough to put on this website that I'm honored to be on, and also be able to play. Because to play, I just recently started playing on Modo. So before Modo, like, to play, I had to go places, which, because I can't drive, takes more time than for normal people, quotes normal people. So it takes a lot of time for me to play a lot. And I'm not complaining in any way, please, for anybody listening. I'm not complaining. I love it. I'm in this special situation where I get to play this child's game with my friends and try to get better. And it's awesome. I'm not complaining.
Definitely, definitely. So I want to talk about your first article, Travis. So in your opening sentence, you started off with, "Hello, everyone. My name is Travis Bosey." Bosey?
Cozy.
See, I'm so bad at this. "Hello,
It's
everyone. My
fine.
name is Travis Bosey, and I'm blind." That's your opening line right there. And I'll admit that I read that and I stopped. And I was like, "Did he? What?" Like, I had to read that again. And I was just completely floored that that was your opening line. So tell me about your first article and what made you just want to come out with that like that.
Because, the reason that anybody runs a website is to get eyeballs. Like, so, I mean, it's from, so if I say something shocking to keep you interested, then that is the point. I did that with the design to shock people. And honestly, there's people who I've played Magic with for 2 years now who still don't fully understand what I can and cannot see. So it's easiest to just say I'm blind, because, by definition, I am, like the government says that I am. Or whatever. So it's just like, I felt like opening that way was the most shocking. Originally, I had planned to open it with a story, but I think, I can't remember. It was either one of my friends who was helping me proofread and shave it down, or maybe it was the editor, Channel Fireball, felt like that was the best way to open it, because it was like an option between that or like a little story that is told later in the article. And I can't remember who rearranged it, but either way, I love the way that it starts that way, where it's just like, I'm blind. And then you're like, what? And then you want to keep reading, so.
Another thing I really loved about the article, Travis, was your sense of humor throughout. Like, there's actually a part in there where you talk about you didn't see something right on the board, and then afterwards you make a comment of, "I'm the worst Magic player ever. I hate being blind." And there were several points throughout the article where I laughed, and I didn't know if I was supposed to laugh because I was like, "Well, I don't want to laugh at the blind guy." And I almost looked around my shoulder like, "Is it okay to laugh?" And then judging by the rest of your tone, it was okay to laugh. And I really admired your positivity about the whole thing. Like, where did your positive attitude come from?
Well, rule number one, and anybody who has ever played a single game with Magic with me will tell you that I want you to laugh. We're playing this game to have fun. And in my opinion, we're on this earth to have fun, and although maybe not at the expense of other people. So, but like, I can, because the way our system works in this country, they tend to group people who with disabilities together, especially at a young age, and so maybe at all ages. But I know a lot of people who in my childhood, and they're very down and like defeatist. And if I was going to be that way, I would still be like, living in one of my parents' homes, like doing nothing, sitting on the couch, collecting a check from the government. And there's nothing wrong with people who do that. I'm not casting dispersions on them, but I'm not that person. I want to live my life. I want to do what I want to do. So the first part of that is, well, it's a joke. At a young age, I had to decide if I wanted to be pitiful or if I wanted to be funny, and it's funny. And that way, people can't use it to attack me, and I use it to attack myself. And it's funny. So like you're supposed to laugh at that. And about me saying I'm the worst Magic player ever, I really kind of am. I make some of the most ridiculous punts you can't even imagine. And people have the nerve to call me a good Magic player. I misplay like every good game. Every single game I can think of at least one misplay that I have made. And some not I wish that I could blame my vision on all of those, but no. Maybe like 10% of those are because I can't see. The rest are just because I'm terrible.
Right. Well, I think another reason I felt a little strange laughing about it is because, for the most part, the Magic community is very good about being PC. And, there's, a bit of,
Really?
well, there's been an effort to be more PC lately. But what I'm saying is, it's not necessarily that I'm trying to think how to put it. You just want to show respect for somebody. And it's one of those things where even if you may find it funny, I can see myself laughing at it, and then somebody else saying, "Did you just laugh at him? Why did you laugh at him? You're laughing at him." And like, he told me I could, it's okay. And things have gotten kind of murky lately where everybody's a little sensitive, I guess you could say. So I guess that's why I felt a little strange laughing about it. Was because even if I know it's okay and you know it's okay, somebody else may be offended by it, and then that's a whole other ball of wax. You know what I mean?
I mean, I do understand completely. And that's why I'm so, because I'm kind of flamboyant about it. I don't know if I like that word choice, but I am. So, like,
I love that word.
in the beginning, I used to keep it a secret because I was afraid of my opponent abusing it. And I'm sure that it's happened a ton. I've caught people, who knows how many people I haven't caught. And there's a piece of me that worries now that, like, now that I'm, people know. Like there's no hiding it, so like I don't know if people are gonna take advantage of it or not. I hope not. I don't think that they will. But I would rather it be like everyone knows and it be okay to make jokes and to mess around than to everyone be worried. I don't want people to walk on eggshells. I want people to have fun. We play this game to have fun. People forget that, but we do. And I want to comment on like the thing you said about people being PC and like people being accepting. Or I can't remember how you segued into this, but like I think that it's tiered. Where like if you go to like a local place, there's less tolerance and it's far more like a nerd microcosm of we are people and if you're different than us, go away. And like that's fine because it's tribal and like it's like any tribe, like anything with humanity. But like at the when you go to the bigger events like GPs or even when you play at the highest level, like you look at a lot of the well-known people, the famous people of Magic, all of them are accepting. And I'm not part of that group, not close, but I want everyone to be accepted. I want everybody to play Magic. I think that if everyone played Magic, that would be like the best world ever. So by excluding people just because they're different, that's ridiculous because most of the people who play Magic are different. Most of us are nerds anyways. When we were young, we were different. We got pushed into this game, whatever. So it's completely hypocritical for people who have been themselves at one point ostracized to ostracize other people, it's ludicrous. So I want to involve everyone. I want to get everyone into it. I want to make everyone happy. So if, I don't want any eggshells. I think that that's awful. Sorry for that long-winded answer.
No, I'm definitely fine with it. So, what has your experience been, Travis, being a blind player on the scene? Have you faced a lot of ostracism from people?
Zero. But only because I wouldn't tolerate it. So like I mean I'm gonna force my like if I want to be part of something I'm gonna do everything I can to be a part of it and so like that and that goes with like a nerd store so like when I first moved to California I just went to random stores because I didn't know anybody and I didn't know any Magic players at all when I first moved here and I could tell instantly what type of people I wanted to be with and which type of people I didn't want to be with and then I made friends and then boom, it's easy. I understand that not everyone is so I mean I don't know what the percentages are, but I'm sure a lot of Magic players are introverted and they're not able to do that, but I don't have that problem. I love making friends and I love meeting people, so I don't if anybody ever tried to isolate me, ostracize me, whatever, I just wouldn't tolerate it. I would find new people, Like I mean I'm not gonna sit there and be like, I will make you my friend. That's not what I mean. I just mean that's cool. You're allowed to have your opinion. Cool. You don't want to be my friend. You think I'm weird? Cool. I am weird. So I'll go hang out with other people.
So how have you managed to overcome your disability to keep playing in competitive events? Because you had made the comment about misplays, which again happened to us, to all of us, but I would imagine that there are some amount of misplays that come about because of the lack of vision, and things like that. So how do you overcome those things?
That's, I mean, I don't know the best way to articulate this. Honestly, I would say that I just memorize everything. But I've definitely over time built shortcuts. So like it used to be in the beginning, I would constantly go over, okay, this is in their graveyard. This is on the battlefield for me, for them. This is in my hand, whatever. Because I can't, it's harder for me to just look in my hand to see what's in my hand. So I just have to remember. Although I'm pretty sure that most people that play at the high level are doing that anyways. They know the cards, even though they can see them, they know. And so I used to try to actively keep track of all that. But then I kind of like, for some of it, for like card count in hand, and things like that. It's more of a arithmetic now. So like, we're on turn seven. I know how many cards are in play, how many cards are in his graveyard, how many cards are in his hand. That's what, another reason that it's like some people have mentioned to me like, how do I keep you from drawing extra cards? And I don't really. I mean, like if someone was to draw two cards on me, like if they drew them at the same time, I would never know. But the second that I ask them how many cards their hand and they tell me the wrong number, I'm going to instantly know, and then we're going to know that there's a problem, which hasn't happened in a long time. I'm not, you know, it's, I don't really have to worry about it. Someone commented on one of my articles that they worry about people cheating me, and I don't really worry about that because I think that it's a kind of a waste of my mental capacity. I got to worry about the game. I got to worry about how, what I got to do to win and what I got to do to stop them from winning before I win. So I don't really worry about that. Because I mean, a cheater's gonna cheat and they're gonna get you, and that's whatever. That's fine. That's only one game. Everybody loses. I don't care. So the reason I said all that is because like it would be kind of impossible for me to, especially now that I've started playing Legacy, which is a complicated format, to remember everything. Like somebody playing Dredge, there's no way I'm gonna remember every card in their graveyard. That's a huge waste of my time to even try. So I have to try to kind of build shortcuts for it. And luckily, like accepting Legacy, the other formats, it's very easy. And since, I mean, well, I don't want to say that because like some people are like, well, I can't do it, and that's, I don't know, I'm forced to live this way my whole life, or with everything, with work, with school, everything. So, I mean, when you go through, you know, a million years of school without being able to see the blackboard, like, I mean, you have to develop a way or you're just not going to make it, right? So I'm just good at memorizing, I guess. Like I have short-term memory dump, so I can be like, I know everything that happened in this game, and then 5 minutes after the game's over, I can tell you, like, you know, some stuff, but not everything. There's no way I've dumped it all, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. So, when were you first diagnosed as being blind or having visual impairment?
I was born this way, but I think that my parents didn't actually know until maybe I was 4 or 5. Like I can remember very little of my super young childhood, obviously, but like I can remember when I was first learning to ride a bike, and I was wrecking into things, not because I couldn't ride the bike, but because I couldn't see them. And that's kind of when, you know, my dad kind of tried to figure it out and went to the doctor, and then hooray, we got the good news. I'm lucky. So my whole life essentially, but when I was a child is when we discovered it.
Has the blindness gotten like worse as you've gotten older, or has it stayed about the same?
I mean, I don't think so. I don't think it's degenerating. Although I very rarely go to ophthalmologist or optometrist because it's a waste of my time. I used to wear glasses when I was a child because they forced me to, and I had no say in the matter. But my acuity without glasses is 38, is 380 over 20. And that, to give you some frame of reference, they stopped measuring at 400, which means that what you see at 20 feet, it's as if I am 380 feet away from it when I look at it. So with glasses, it goes down to 320. That's hardly worth my time and effort. And I used to break them all the time, and it was this huge hassle. So I just stopped wearing them. So that's doesn't even, whatever.
And you had mentioned in your first article, you had said, I'm not opaquely blind like Ray Charles or Helen Keller, but you described yourself more as being like a severe nearsightedness. Is
Right.
that
So,
right?
yeah, look, so opaquely blind means you see black. That's all you see. So what mine is like I said, so if I'm 380 over 20 without glasses, which I am, then I have to see, I have to hold things very close to my face to read. So to actually read a magic card, man, maybe if I write my next article, I'll take a picture of this to show you how close I have to be. So I have to be less than an inch. The card has to be less than an inch away from my face for me to be able to actually read the text that's
Like
on it.
almost touching your nose?
Correct.
Oh wow. And so I'm so amazed by that, 'cause I mean I'm trying to imagine you at the table, and I'm trying to imagine the game going on, and just I can't imagine what that's like. Like I'm just trying to imagine what you're seeing as it's happening.
Oh, it's easy to imagine what I see. Nothing. So like you, when you, I mean, I would not nothing, but like, I mean, I can see when people move, but like when a player plays a card on the play field, I don't see it. I only know it's there because he said he put it there. And
So
even
if
the
he
cards
doesn't
that are on
say
my
what
side.
he's playing, you don't know what he played.
Correct. I have to ask him.
Wow.
So like even the cards that are on my side of the field, like I know that they're there because A, I put them there, and B, I always almost always put my cards in the same kind of configuration. But I can't really see them for what they are. They're just like blurry objects. I mean, if at all, like some, it depends, because whatever is wrong with me and nobody knows, glare and lighting have like a huge effect on it. So like depending on the lighting and whatever, sometimes it's worse, sometimes it's better. It's like kind of, it can be a dramatic difference. So it's hard. So I don't even try to like, I used to like try to keep track of my own side of the field, but I don't even do that anymore because again, it's a waste of like, it's waste too much time and I don't want to be a burden on my opponent, and nobody likes draws, and we're definitely not going to draw because I can't see. That's never going to happen. It's never happened. It never will happen. I'm not going to be that person. Like
Wow.
I'd stop playing because I'm not going to be a burden to myself. I'm not going to be a burden to the judges. I'm already kind of a little bit of a burden to the judges, and that bothers me a little bit, but not so much that it's like, oh, I got to get out of this.
Why does that bother you? Or why do you think that?
Why do I think that I'm a burden to them? Well, I
Yeah.
know I
It's the
am. But
judges. I mean, that's their job to help people.
it's their job, and that's why it's okay. That's why it doesn't bother me. But it doesn't mean I'm not burdening them sometime, especially at like, not like, like at premier level events, it's fine. There's a million judges. But if you go to like, I don't know, like an SC, no, that's a bad example. If you go to some place and there's like 100 people, but there's only like three or four judges, it can be annoying. When I need help finding my seat or with my fixed seat or whatever, stuff like that. But when you have like 50 judges running around, it's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. I just mean like when you have a limited amount of resources, I don't want to be a burden or extra burden on those resources. But I will if I have to.
It's funny. I remember I was at SCG Seattle this year, and there was a man who was completely blind, and he was playing Junk Reanimator, and that's a deck that I can't even play. And he somehow was able to make his cards with Braille on them. I don't remember. I remember asking him what he used, and he gave me the name of the device or the item, and I tweeted it, and I don't remember it now, but I was just in awe of this man because, like I said, I know people with perfect vision that can't play Reanimator. That's a tough deck, or it was. And I remember just watching him and just being really amazed, and he was able to just, mill himself and Unburial Rites and know exactly what he was pulling, and he knew when to Restoration Angel and what, and I was just so impressed, and I didn't know what else to say. I was just like, I've got nothing. Like, I just respect you so much, and his opponents were so great to him, and I just couldn't believe it. I thought he did a really good job, and yeah.
I mean, that's impressive. I've heard of people putting Braille on their sleeves and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I've also heard of like the really like the people who actually, take it seriously, they shuffle inside like a special made deck box so that they can't actually feel the cards when they shuffle them. Because obviously if there's
Yeah, he had
sleeves,
that
they should
too,
be
I
able to feel the card.
think.
Yeah. I think like the judges have to enforce something like that once you're playing like a premier level event, or else it's too easy for that person to cheat. But that's still, I agree. That's incredible to be opaquely blind because even, I mean, I'm not going to compare myself to that person. He's doing something, even though we may be doing similar things, he's doing it hard mode, harder mode than me. So, I mean, that's impressive. It's awesome. I didn't like that deck at the time, but like, I can understand that, why, like, I think that if, like, I used to be very attracted, when I first started playing Magic, I used to be very attracted to aggro decks because at the time I felt like they had one plan, very linear, easy to play. And a lot of people have that perception, whether it is right or wrong, and that made it easier for someone who, like me, like myself, needs to be able to focus on like so many different things to play a deck that has like one plan, go. Like turn things sideways. Did you get them? No, you didn't. Whatever. Like, and I think that Junk Reanimator kind of has like that. It has like one plan. And sure, the deck evolved over time, but in the beginning, that deck did one thing. It reanimated a fatty on turn three or four, and then you killed people.
Yeah.
So like, even though there's a lot of things going on and lots of things for him to remember, he still has just like this one plan. It's not like playing control where you like, I don't know. I think that it's so much more complicated for that. And again, I'm not, I'm not trashing him or anything. I'm just connecting it to myself. Like, it's easier to play decks that have like a clear path to victory and only one path to victory.
So are there decks you won't play because of your disability?
Absolutely not. There used to be, but not anymore.
Okay.
Because in my quest to get better, I have to be able to play everything. Because I have to know how everything works. I have to know how my opponent is trying to win so that I can stop him, or so that I can just do my way first. Now when I play test and stuff, I try to play everything. I practice all the decks and stuff when I play test. So.
Very cool. So your first big exposure, at least that I knew it, came from GP Vegas. Tell me about your time at GP Vegas.
I mean, it was. That was the first. That's the best I've ever done at a GP. 11th place is pretty good. Although it's a
Yeah.
little bit of a dagger that 7th through 19th were all the same place, and I lost only one game all day long in day two, and I still wasn't good enough.
Oof.
But that's the nature of it. It's fine. It's just a tiny, tiny little dig. I went there with my buddy, and or with yeah, with just me and my buddy, and it was awesome. I didn't expect to do well. I actually, when I got my pool, because I had buys, so I built like after everyone with a sleep-in special, and when I got my pool, it was really bad, and I expected my tournament not to last very long. So then. I did well for I actually lost my first played round, and then, I mean, I'm sure this is all in my article, but then I won the rest of the day, and so I was excited, and then I lost in my second to last round, and then the last round I played against somebody who was a friend of a friend who has now become my friend since then, and so that's frustrating because I had to eliminate him to make it, and then day two was insane where I don't know I felt like I was getting supremely lucky repeatedly. And I even say that now still, and people are like, whatever, man, you did well. And I'm like, yeah, I did well, but I also got really lucky, multiple times. And a lot of that stuff isn't related to my article, but I spiked it, as some people say, where you just get lucky and you have to, I guess, in such a long tournament. So it's kind of a blur now because that was 4 months ago. But it was exciting, and I didn't. It's the most focused I've ever been at a tournament. When I have been on day two before, but after I won my first round, I was like, all right. And I didn't think my deck was that good, but it turned out it was pretty good. And then my second deck was ludicrous. And then so I was just really focused and never really considered my blindness or whatever. And then played the first time I ever played a Pro Tour champion was at that event, and he was super nice, and I'm like, this is awesome. And so it was kind of the first time you get to see behind the curtain, to where you get to see these people, and instead of just shaking their hand, you're playing against them, and that's cool. And since then I have played a couple more, at the PT and other events, and it's awesome to see that these are just people. Not necessarily LSV because I don't really know him, but Conley or Craig Wesco, they're just dudes. They love Magic. They're really good at it, but they're also just guys. And they're really funny, and they're cool. And so it's to be able to see behind that, and to be able to say, yeah, I had a conversation with Conley Woods. I hung out with him for a couple hours. It's awesome. And I can't tell a lot of people that, because it's like, oh, what, this guy thinks he's hot shit because he hung out with Conley Woods. And I don't think that. I just think that it's awesome to be able to hang out with someone I look up to and not feel intimidated because he's a nice guy, and to just he's just a dude and he's hilarious, and and you just want to hang out with people, and it's cool. And I wouldn't say I'm part of the cool kids club or anything like that, because I'm not. They don't know me, but it's cool that I got the opportunity to do that and to see, to pierce that veil, and not a lot of people get that, get to do that. So I'm feel pretty lucky, and I am lucky. I mean, well, I guess I'm not that lucky because I'm blind, but I mean, I at tournaments, I have been pretty lucky recently. I'm kind of on a hot streak of just being incredibly insanely lucky. And so that feels good. But I know that at some point I'm going to stop being lucky and I'm going to be mad.
And then you find out you get an invite to the Pro Tour. What was that like?
Yeah, sorry, I kind of buried that lead. It was insane. To win my last match and to know that X2 meant I got to go to the PT was it was insane. I've been playing Magic since I was 16 or something, and I've always thought of like the Pro Tour as like this mythical destination or
Mm-hmm.
whatever. And so like to get that invitation, I'm like, man, like so I had two instantaneous thoughts. First thought was like, this is awesome. The second thought is I'm gonna get crushed. So there was kind of this dichotomy of like, I was super happy, but also I'm like, man, I don't belong in this group of people. So I don't know. So like, I guess that's my answer. Like, it just was like from two ends, just depends on what mood I was in, whether I was like super stoked about it or whether if I was anxious about it or not.
Right. So was there a part of you that was like, I'm not ready for this, or did you just have the greatest attitude about it?
I mean, well, I think I was always pretty positive, but I'm still not. I mean, it's come and gone, and I wasn't ready for it. Like, I mean, like I didn't. I think that I prepared the best that I could with the resources that I had, but obviously I was not prepared. Like, I mean, my deck was a bad choice, and I don't. It's my first time, so I had no idea what to expect with the meta or whatever. And like there was like two decks there that I just didn't even realize were going to be like decks at all, and luckily I only played against them like three times to totally smash me out. But then there was other decks that also just weren't good matchups for me and whatever. It was a learning experience, but I wasn't ready, and I knew I wasn't ready beforehand. And now after the fact, I know even more that I was like super unready. And so now like I'm on the plan of getting more ready, and hopefully I get to go again at some point. And I have like three chances left to queue for the next one. That's a pretty small window, but hopefully I'll get lucky and get to go back again someday, if not the next one, to another one. And try to be more prepared.
Was there a part of you that wondered how your disability was going to play into things with the trip and everything else and all the planning that goes into the Pro Tour?
I mean, the answer that your listeners want to hear is yes, but the honest answer is no, because I'm so used to it that I don't really have anxiety about that anymore. I mean, sure, it's hard. I had never traveled outside of North America before, so it was hard going through like Heathrow and then to Dublin. To these huge places when I can't read signs, and like there's people all around me that don't, some of them don't even speak English, and so sure there is that anxiety there, and it makes things difficult. But at the same time, I'm so used to it that I push it back and I don't let it, because if I let that overwhelm me, then I'm just gonna be a mess. So I just have to not think about it at all. I like zero tolerance for thinking about that. So like a specific example, when I was in Heathrow, like I just basically just like told, like I just found somebody who worked there and like, listen, I can't see, I can't read the signs, I need some help. And they helped me. They were wonderful. And it's easy. Get to skip all the lines.
So, what are some of your best memories from the Pro Tour? Did you meet anybody cool? Do you have any great experiences? Tell me about that.
So, I mean, I do have a lot of cool stories, and a lot of my friends want me to tell the stories, but some of my stories would be like talking out of school, and I'm not gonna do that about people. Like, I met really cool people, that is for sure. Like I said, I got to hang out with Conley, like randomly have dinner with him on Sunday night, and then later go out to the bar with him afterwards. And it was awesome because he's been one of my favorite pros for a long time, and he's just a guy, and he's just funny, and totally nice. And so that was really, really cool. And like in my article also, I didn't really hang out with David Ochoa, but when I had that conversation where, he said Pro Tours are hard, I mean, that conversation lasted like 5 minutes, if that. But still, that moment was like incredible. It was an awesome moment. There was also this really cool moment, maybe this will be too self-aggrandizing, but I don't mean it that way, that I was finishing a game, a match actually, where I had unfortunately lost, but there were people watching. I think it was on day one. I don't remember. I can't remember if it was day one or day two. No, it was certainly day two. I'm sorry. And this guy who was watching was like, "Hey, did you write an article for Channel Fireball?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Yeah, I heard you telling your opponent that you couldn't really see or whatever, and I thought it was you, and I wanted to say." And this kid was from Germany, and he was the best. And he said, "I wanted you to know that like people in Berlin, like we talked about your article for like a month." And I'm like, "Really?" And he's like, and he says, "Yeah, like." And my LGS and like some other store, I think he said like two different stores, like people, we talked about you a lot and we think it's really interesting. And I'm like, that is awesome, dude. People in Germany know who I am. Like, that's insane. Because who am I? I'm nobody. And so like that was like this really awesome moment. And like a lot, in LA, I know like a lot of the people who play Magic regularly. So when they see me after I read an article, they're like, "Hey, nice article." I appreciate it. I'm not diminishing their respect in any way, but it's different when your friend says, "Hey, I liked your article," than when some total stranger from around the world says, "Hey, man, we talked about your article for like a month." Like, I'm like, "That's awesome." And people say that they're inspired by it and that it's inspirational, and I'm used to it, so I don't really. I mean, I understand it from like if I was watching a movie and I'm like Simon Birch or whatever, like I understand how it could be inspirational. But to me, I'm just a dude and I just want to make people laugh and I just want to have fun. And so when people are like, "That's inspirational," I'm like, "I'm glad that you are inspired. I think that that's awesome." And I used to be a musician and like the goal is to like inspire and to connect with people. And it's kind of ironic that when I was in a career that wanted to do that, I didn't really make it. And then like I'm doing a normal job now, but in the game that I love as a hobby, I'm kind of doing that on accident. So that's pretty ironic.
Yeah, I tend to get that a bit as well. I'm transgendered, and like you, I tend to just sort of live my life. Like, I don't think I'm doing anything differently, or I don't think I'm doing anything that's sort of, inspirational. But it's like, sometimes I'll tweet things that I'm going through, or I'll be like, my mom the other day sent me a really lovely text message where she started using the correct gender. Like, my mother never referred to me as her daughter before. She never did, and I never really enforced it. Like, she would just sort of call me, her son or her young man or whatever, and I would let her do it. Those are my parents. I'm not gonna crack the whip on my mom, And the other
Right.
night she had sent me a text message and she finally said, "Love you, daughter." And I had tweeted it to people, and people were like, "That is so great. That's so awesome. It's so inspirational." And it's not that it wasn't, but I just didn't think anything of it. I was like, "Oh, it's just a moment, whatever." Or, the day that I got approved for hormones, I had mentioned that I got approved and I whatever, and people were like, "Oh, you're so brave." And I was just like, "What? Like, I'm just doing what I've always done. I'm just doing what I've had to do." And it's strange. I get what you're saying, where you're just like, I'm just being me. Like, I don't know what else to do. And people sort of put that on you, and it's sort of strange.
I mean, I definitely have personal victories in my life where
Oh,
like I do
yeah.
something, I'm like, this is crazy. I can't believe I just did this as a blind dude. But like I kind of keep that. I'm the kind of person who like kind of keeps that to himself because I don't want to be an asshole. Because I mean, there's already I'm already my mouth is so big that I'm already a big enough asshole. I don't need to be like, "Hey, I'm the blind guy." So I don't know. Like, and I think that's another reason I try to make it funny. That way, when I do have like one of those moments where I'm like, "Holy shit, I can't believe that I just did that," or whatever, like I was able to do that, I kind of keep it low key because I don't want it to be like, "Everybody look at me." And I know that you understand this is from the story you just told me where like it's just your life. It's just part of, what you do. So.
Yeah, I get that. But at the same time, it's like, I don't think there's anything wrong with once in a while being like, yeah, I just totally killed that. Like,
Oh, there's not, but trust me. I mean, I do that with other things, so not with like blind things. So, like, I mean, I don't know how to. I think I just kind of shot myself in the foot. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, when I'm successful at things that aren't related or necessarily hindered by my vision, that's kind of when I'm like, "Hey, let's take a victory lap." But then when I'm that's so that's when I take my victory laps, not necessarily just because I'm like, "Hey, I'm the blind guy and I did something I'm not supposed to be able to do." Because honestly, like. Just and thanks to my father for making me this way. Like, that's how I've always been my life because I've been told I'm not supposed to be able to do lots of stuff my whole life, and I've, in the spite of that, done it. So, it's not, I don't really take victory laps for that kind of stuff. I take victory laps for sillier, more fun things because if I do something silly or I win something silly or whatever, then I can involve other people in my victory lap. But if it's a victory lap for my vision, people can't connect with that, right? Like, so I can't involve other people. I can't make it about other people. And I like to make it about other people. I like to be part of a group. So I tell everybody to have fun.
The last thing I want to mention or talk about regarding your disability before we move on to one more subject and close out the show. There's been a lot of talk recently about, like I said, trying to make the community a better place. And a lot of that focus is on women and people of the LGBT community. But I feel like, one of the things we don't hear very much about is race. And another thing we don't really hear very much about is people with disabilities. If you were to sort of rate the community in terms of how they are right now, with dealing with people with disabilities, would you say the community is doing a pretty good job of that, or do you think they could stand to improve on that?
To be completely honest, I think it's Terrible.
Yeah.
I can't name a single tournament I've been to where I haven't heard at least one people say, "Man, that's gay," and I hate it. There's actually a guy who's pretty famous for being a huge bag of douche in Southern California who constantly says that to people, and he isn't. I mean, he's not just like his 15-year-old boy who's like part of a culture that unfortunately that's part of the vernacular. He's saying it because he's an ass and he's being mean, and he like. Recently, bad-mannered someone very, very badly in the semifinals of a PTQ, and it was atrocious. And there was like three judges watching, and he's like, "Man, that's gay." And I'm like, "How is that not unsportsmanlike? At what point does this become taunting?" Like, I asked one of the judges that, and he gave me like this non-answer that was garbage. And so my friend and I made a big deal out of it to like Helen Burgod from the whose name I just said incorrectly at OP because like that's foolishness. If the head judge is sitting there watching a game and you say, "Man, that's gay," there should be a repercussion. You should at least get a warning because that is showing by not by doing nothing, it is showing that we tolerate that kind of behavior. And I don't mean to get on a soapbox. I'm not homosexual. I don't know what it's like to be homosexual, but I do know what it's like to be ostracized, and I do know what it's like to be singled out and hated because of something you can't control. Not necessarily hated, but hated on for something you can't control. And people are like, "It's just a word." Sure, it is just a word, except when you're that person and you can't, and you feel like you're not part of something because you have to sit there and listen to, "Man, that's gay," 40 times a day because you want to go play in a tournament. I have another story, and I hate this story. I hate that this happened, but I love telling it to people because I'm going to change this shit. I love to see women playing Magic. In the last like three GPs I've played in, I've seen more women at tournaments than I've ever seen before. That's awesome because nerd girls, sweet. But like at the same PTQ where I just told my other story from, we're in like round six or something, and we're in the X1 section. So when you lose, you're done. And this guy beats this woman, and so she's just been eliminated. While he's signing the slip, and I'm gonna swear here, like, sorry, he says, "Fucking Christ, I can't believe I almost lost to a girl." And he slides her the slip like he just didn't bad manner the shit out of her, and like it's like nothing. Like she's supposed to just sign her slip and move the day on, and she does. She, I mean, class act to her. She signs the slip, hands it back to him. She gets up and walks away. That is garbage. If I was her, like, what? How does that make her feel? Is she gonna keep playing? Like, I mean, I don't. If I was her, it would make me feel spiteful. So I'd be like, "Yes, I'm gonna just dominate everyone and say, 'Suck it, I'm a woman. You can't beat me.'" But like, it's terrible that that exists. And the only way that goes away is by the pillars of the community saying, "We're not going to accept that anymore." And that is actually happening. Like, there's been some really awesome articles. Patrick Chapin, who you just had on your show, wrote a really awesome article about that, not too long ago, sometime this past year. And it's awesome. Things like that are how it fixes, is how this gets fixed, because it's like a cultural thing. And it's not like, I haven't seen many instances of where people are like hatefully saying the things they say. They're just absentmindedly saying it. They're saying it because their friends say it. They're saying it because they're used to saying it. The same with their intolerance or pseudo intolerance. And I think that it will slowly go away if people say, "Hey, don't do that." And I'm not like a big dog or anything, but when I hear people say that stuff, especially if they're a teenage boy, say that stuff, I say, "Man, don't say that. Say something else, because it's just a word to you, but it might hurt somebody else, and whatever." And if they give me blowback, then I give them blowback because I'm not gonna back down to some 14-year-old boy who wants to say gay or raped or whatever. I think it's foolish. So yeah.
Disabilities. Like, do you feel that the community does okay in terms of that?
Well, then I totally missed the mark. I'm sorry. I just wanted, that's like one of my pet peeves, so obviously
No,
I
it's
went off.
fine.
I think that that's awesome. I don't really have that much experience with it. Like, there's actually this really awesome judge in LA who's in a wheelchair, and like it seems fine. And I've seen other people at some big events that are in wheelchairs, but other than that, I don't really have much experience with it. Obviously, the staff is incredible. They give you fixed seats. They help you out. They do whatever they can do to help you. I've had nothing but like the best experiences with that. And like players are always really cool, especially at like the big events. Like Most of my scumbag stories come from PTQs, but like at GPs and at like the PT, everyone was awesome. Like the people who spoke English, as soon as they understood, like they were totally incredible about it. So I think that the community is great with that. And like I said, like at the big events, it seems like at the premier level events, it seems like everyone is cool because everyone is happy because you're spending your weekend playing Magic, playing this game that we all love, and you don't care if your opponent is gay or not. You don't care if your opponent is black or Asian. You don't care whatever. You just want to play the game. You just want to win. You want to sit down and you want to beat somebody. So I think that as far as that is concerned, it's pretty cool. It's like at the lower levels where there's like an issue. And I've never seen another disabled person at the lower levels except for that one judge who I've never actually seen playing, always judging. So I don't really have like the inside scoop on that. But everyone's been awesome to me. So personally, I think it's great.
So one of your other major interests is music. Do you play? Like, are you in a band right now?
No, because like a few years ago, I made the decision to be a grown up, and so I kind of let my hobby go away because it went from consuming my life to just being a hobby to I can't do this as a hobby. So yeah, I started playing music when I was 11, and I play. I'm play in quotation marks because I haven't practiced in so long. Five different instruments, and I used to sing. It's not. People always say that, but like, it's really not
I
that
can't even
impressive.
play one. I played the clarinet for, I think, I played the clarinet for maybe 6 months in junior high, and even then I never felt like I was any good at it.
I mean, I think that it's one of those skills where it's a totally an acquired skill. Sure, some people have a talent at it, but like if a child has a parent that forces them to learn, like I'm sure that any child can learn, and my parents didn't do that, but I mean I just had a passion for it. So like, I start my gateway instrument was saxophone, and like, I was like a little 75-pound kid. If that, carrying around this like 40-pound behemoth thing, and like it was a huge pain, but I like loved it and I thought it was awesome. And then I moved to like other stuff. And then when I went to college, I was like, man, this orchestra instruments, they aren't cool. I'm never gonna get chicks. So I taught myself to play the guitar and try to be cooler. And I kind of like went to some vocal coaches and like learned to sing and stuff. And like, it was cool. And I don't regret that part of my life, but it seems like it was just like this 10 years period of my life where I'm just like, I kind of wish I had that time back.
I have to
Should have played
I was
Magic.
gonna say, I have to admit, Travis, whenever I have somebody on my show, I do a little bit of stalking, as I call it, to come up with potential things to talk about. And I did we do have a mutual Facebook friend, I believe, and I saw some of your pictures. And
Yeah, Frank, right?
what was that?
Frank, right? I
No, I
think.
think our mutual friend is Jackie Lee, actually. And
Oh,
there were some
really?
lovely pictures of you with your long hair. You had long hair?
I did used to have
Yes,
long hair.
I was like, oh, I need to bring up this because it was just priceless.
Actually, like the worst picture. Like, I mean, I was like a total. Like, think of the most stereotypical long-haired idiot band member you can think of. I was that person. So, like, I mean, I had hair that was down to like the middle of my chest, like its longest, and it was like stringy and gross and awful. And so, like, when it was wet, I just looked like a rat. Like, it was awful. And so, like, no, that stuff's on Facebook. I have like two pictures, and at least my hair is like dry, so it's like I don't look like a total scumbag. But like, yeah, I regret all that. I mean, well, I don't regret it, but like, that's a huge. I'm never doing that again. My hair is short for the rest of my life, period.
That makes me think of that character, no offense, of course, the character from the Addams Family. Was it Thing? The hairy.
Cousin
Right, the
Flick,
cousin. I
yeah.
do, especially with you being, visually impaired. I just imagine you having all this hair and being visually impaired and just like running into stuff.
Yeah, it was joke central, because for this exactly as you say, I couldn't see, and then the hair didn't matter, so it was in my face. And my dad used to call me that because he hated it. He hated it. So, he would always be like, "Oh, cousin it, whatever." My grandmother would be like, "Ooh, your Jesus hair," and I'm like, "Yeah, Jesus."
Oh man. So if Travis, if anyone has enjoyed having you or he listening to you on the show, where can they find you? How can they get in touch with you?
I will pretty much be Facebook friends with
Oh
anyone.
my.
So if they request my Facebook to be a Facebook friend, I'm pretty open with that. And I have a Twitter too, but I don't really tweet that much.
I've
If people tweet to me
noticed.
as have that, you I will answer. But like the only time I really tweet is like when I'm in a tournament and I'll be like, I'll give status updates because some of the people that follow me actually care. But usually I don't tweet that much other than that, or to retweet stuff. Like I love to retweet stuff. Like Brian Kibler says the greatest shit, and so like I'll retweet his stuff
Well, you must
sometimes.
have had a lot of stuff
And
to
like,
retweet these last couple days.
well, actually, I didn't. I wasn't. I shared it on Facebook, like, because I think it's awesome, and he's totally correct what's going on with Moto. But and I've had a problem with it for a while. But like I said, like I just don't really use Twitter that often. Like it's specifically for Magic, I guess. So on my Twitter is @sightlessi. And my Facebook is just my name, obviously. And a lot of like since the Pro Tour, a couple people have sent me messages, just to ask me questions, whatever. Totally cool with that. You want to send me questions? I will do my best to answer you, because it doesn't bother me. And I think it's awesome to connect with people. So, hooray!
Well, I'm definitely glad I got the opportunity to connect with you, Travis. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Too. Thanks for having
Absolutely.
me.
And if anyone else has enjoyed what they've heard here on the Deck Tees, you can always find the show first and foremost on legitmtg.com. Then you can find the show on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Feel free to leave me a review and some stars. The show is on Twitter at the Deck Tees. I am on Twitter at Original Estrus. That's OriginalOestrus. And you can also email me personally at estrus@elitestrix.com. Thank you guys so much for listening, and please take care of yourselves, okay? Bye.